Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Mum and Mama podcast. I hope you're good. This episode, as all episodes are brought to you by Golding Accountancy. We are golding.com. Dream accountants they are. How are you? I hope you're good. This week I've got a legend on my podcast. I'm so happy that she agreed to come on. I was trying for quite a while to get her on, but she's so busy saving the world. It took a little while, but Ruth Talbot is a single parents' right campaigner. And she set up the campaign group, actually, Single Parents' Rights. And I came across her. I mean, I talk about it in the podcast. I can't remember who shared one of her posts, but obviously it resonated greatly with me being a single parent. And when I found her page, I was like, this is what I should be doing. Because I do a podcast about being a single parent, but I felt quite bad because it's like my podcast is like, I chat to people and talk about positive experiences, but she's doing graft, trying to get rights bills passed, because single parents don't have as many rights as parents when there's, you know, both of you are together. Sorry. Which I didn't have a clue about, but it's quite astonishing, actually, the amount of discrimination that you face without knowing. Well, in some cases, anyway. So this podcast was a good chat with her to find out why she does what she does and what she does. So I hope you enjoy. If you're affected by anything that we discuss, or you think you'd have a story you'd like to share, or if you know anyone that you think would be good to come on the podcast, then please get in touch with me. I'm looking for guests at the moment. My socials are Mum and Mama Pod, and I think that's it. I'll see you on the other side. Enjoy.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Work. Work.
Oh, I'm really excited. I love to do this podcast because literally every time I talk to someone, I always say I'm really excited because I genuinely am. I get to talk to such lovely people. Today I'm joined by single parents' rights campaigner Ruth Talbot, who I followed on Instagram. I don't know when I found you. It must have been a year ago, maybe. When did you start the...
I've been writing about being a single parent and trying to sort of raise awareness of it, gosh, for about 5 or 6 years. But then I only sort of made it more campaigns focused about a year, just over a year ago in lockdown. Okay. Well, a bit more than that because it was in lockdown, yeah.
I can't remember how I found you either, because if someone must have shared one of your posts, but I can't remember who it was. But I was like, when I found you, I was just like, oh my God, I love you. Because you were just saying everything that I felt and doing such important work. So is it a charity or is it just a...
It's just a campaign group. We haven't registered as a charity. We're just a campaign group, bunch of volunteers.
Yeah.
Trying to make
so that's single parents' rights.
Single parent rights, yes.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing that for?
So that started around a year ago. It sort of grew organically. Like I say, I was doing the writing and trying to raise awareness. And then in lockdown, obviously single parents were just completely forgotten and it was really hard. And then I did this slightly mad thing of going and knocking on Dominic Cummings' door and writing him a letter and hand delivering it with my kids in tow. It was when it was all kicking off in the news about him having gone up to Durham. And at the time, everyone was like pushing for him to resign. But I thought it was really interesting because one of the things he was saying, if you took it to be true, was that the reason he'd gone up there was because his wife was ill and he was worried about looking after his kid on his own. And it was like, well, hello, that's what single parents do.
Hello.
And obviously in a lockdown, you like lose loads of support. A lot of people were losing finances or worried that they were about to lose finances and jobs and things. So I was just sort of trying to say, well, look, if that's, you know, worried you at the time, imagine how we've been feeling, and just tried to get him to see how it was. And then it just sort of all spun from there. Really.
Did he respond? Did you get a response from that?
Yeah, so I'd actually written addressed the envelope to him and his wife, and she got back to me, and then it led to some emails back and forth, and then there was an email with him as well, and then there was a phone call with another advisor from Number 10 about what kind of policy change people wanted. And because I'd been running the blog for ages and I'm a member of different groups, I had quite a network of single parents. So I was going to bring up what people wanted. And a big thing was obviously support bubbles.
Yeah.
And on a broader thing, what people wanted was for single parents to be added to the Equality Act so that it's illegal to discriminate, so that policymakers have to think about us first, so that when and we're not just forgotten.
Sorry, my daughter's just standing outside the door. Lola?
Yeah?
What's the matter? Oh, she's shut.
You're right.
I had to paint her nails before we started recording because I had another meeting earlier, and you get the guilt, don't you?
Oh.
You're not spending enough time with your kids. Obviously, it's half term when we're recording this, and she was like, "Can you paint my nails?" I was like, "Yeah, I'll do it later." She's like, "Can you not just do it now?" So I just did it in like 10 minutes. So she was just showing me, but I can't see. I mean, the door's like anyway. So you said that single parents can't be
discriminated.
Yes, again. So there was nothing in place beforehand then to stop the discrimination.
No, there's still not. There's no. So the way equality law acts, the way equality law is in the UK, it's only discrimination. It's only legally considered discrimination if you're one of the protected characteristics.
And
protected characteristic. And being married or in a civil partnership is one of those, but being single or a single parent isn't. So you can often claim indirect sex discrimination because the vast majority of single parents are women.
Right, yep.
But from our perspective, that's not very direct, and often the discrimination isn't happening purely because you're a woman. It's happening very specifically because you're a single woman, because a lot of this stuff wouldn't happen if you had a partner in tow. So not about your gender, or it's certainly not about your gender alone.
Yes, yeah.
So that's our issue. And also, unless it's a protected characteristic, employers and government and businesses won't consider single parents before they introduce a policy. We're not pushing for this policy change so everyone can go around suing. We want to mean that the discrimination doesn't exist in the first place, that people think about how things will affect single parents first. How it would happen. They have a duty of care to think, to consider those in the Equality Act when they introduce things.
So recently you've been experiencing the discrimination that single parents face within housing, haven't you? And that's something that I went through as well. I mean, not to the extent that you've gone through it, and I was very fortunate, and I found a place to rent through a friend. And because when I was looking, I was in the house that I was in with my ex-partner.
Mm-hmm.
Then he'd been gone for a couple of years, and my landlord told me that they wanted to sell. So they were quite happy for me to stay there until they did sell.
Yeah.
But I was like, I can't wait. You know, I can't. I need to look for somewhere, because obviously I might not be able to find anywhere when you.
Yeah, of course. You can't just find something at the drop of a hat.
No. So ironically, they never ended up selling, because two sales fell through, and then they've ended up renting out again. So I never did have to move, but I'm in a better place. I'm happy to have moved, so it's fine. But
good. So
when I did first start looking, first of all, I phoned the council to see if I could get put on a social housing list, because as a single parent, obviously it's one income, plus I work part time because I've got to look after the kids. And I found out that that doesn't really exist anymore. You just have to turn up with your eviction notice and all of your stuff and your children.
Yeah.
And then you can get housed temporarily anywhere in the country. It hasn't got to be anywhere near their school. And I was like, well, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I can't move away from my support system, and I don't want to live anywhere else. I want to live in my home, you know.
It's crazy. It's
crazy system. It's absolutely. I'm just like, how does that make sense? That doesn't make sense for anyone, because that's not going to be any good for the children or the person. And then where they're moved to, they're going to put pressure on the the services there. I mean, it's just complete madness. Anyway, and I didn't even want a council place. I just want a housing association, so my rent's controlled.
Yeah.
And they can't chuck me out.
Yeah.
You know, that's I just
Fair
want the
enough.
Security of someone saying, actually, you've got to leave your home now. But they couldn't tell me if there are actually any housing association places where I live, because that information doesn't exist. So the whole thing was just, no one that I spoke to knew anything, and no one could help me. And I just thought, I've got a degree. I'm born in this country. English is my first language, and I found it impossible. How the hell are people who aren't as educated or aren't as fluent in the language supposed to? I mean, it's absolutely
exactly. That's what. That's
disgusting.
What I thought.
But then obviously I was looking to rent privately, and the amount of. Everywhere was like, so I get working tax credits because I work, and I'm, you know, you can't get if you get any benefits, they don't want you.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, that's it then, isn't it? And places were like, we'll say no single parent, no single families, no single parent families.
It's bonkers. Like, did they actually write that in the advert, or that was verbal when you'd phone up?
I didn't experience that, because when I was looking, it would just say no, like no income support or whatever.
Yeah.
But a friend of mine, she was told verbally that they wouldn't have any single parent families.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I've not seen it that I can remember written. I don't think they probably would do that, because I don't think that they can.
No.
But I know that she was told that they won't have single parent families. But then I put on Facebook, does anyone know of anywhere that I can live? And a friend got in contact and were like, I know somewhere, and it's turned out fine. But what's been your experience?
So my experience is basically I owned a house and I wanted to move from the area for various reasons. It took me ages to sell it. Two offers fell through. And so when I got this final offer more recently, obviously I thought, yeah, I'll take it and I'll find a place to buy while it's all going through. Anyway, the place I tried to buy fell through because there was legal issues with the ownership of it. So basically got messed around by the solicitors on the sale side. So I couldn't buy that, but my sale was still going through and I thought, it's fine. I'll just rent temporarily while I look for somewhere to buy.
Yeah.
And obviously I had a chunk of money from the sale because that's going to be the deposit for my next place. So I thought, I knew all this discrimination happened towards single parents because, you know, that's part of the reason why I've set up this campaign, and we've had some of the people tell us about how awful it is to rent as a single parent. And I know a lot of it is linked to the housing benefit. So because I've got these savings from my house sale, I was previously on Universal Credit, but because I've sold my house and now I've got savings, I'm not entitled to Universal Credit.
Yeah.
So I'll have to pay for the rent out of my savings. Totally fine.
Yeah.
And therefore, well, that's much less risky for any landlord. So why would they be bothered what my setup is? So I just went, first of all, I did try and find a one bed. I've got two young kids because I thought I'm just eating into my deposit. I'd rather eat into less with sharing a one bed. But everywhere was saying, no, we won't even show you a one bed with two kids. And I kind of just thought, oh,
why?
Well, they just say the landlords won't rent. I didn't really get into it. I just thought, oh, maybe that's how it works. Because I've never been in the rental market as a parent. When I've rented in the past, it's always been in house share. So I just thought, or maybe there's, I didn't really think too much about it, to be honest. I just thought, okay, fine.
But they have families living in one bedroom places. The council put them.
I know. Well, this is private renting, obviously. But I just thought, okay fine. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'll do the two-bed thing. Go and see a two-bed. It's fine. It's in the area where I want to buy, so it'll be fine. And put in an offer, because you have to put in an offer and fill in the forms and everything. And then he comes back to me, the estate agent, and tells me that the landlord won't rent to me because it's not big enough. And I was like, I was just totally gobsmacked. I was like, not big enough? What do you mean? Like, surely it's none of your business how much space I have, and also it's two bed, and I've only got two young kids. And he was like, no, that second bedroom is really small. And actually I was planning on putting us all to sleep in the second bedroom and having more living space. I was like, what do you mean it's too small for a seven-year-old? The little one's going to be in with me. How can a room be too small for a seven-year-old? You know, if it's too small for a seven-year-old, it shouldn't be counted as a room. But it's not actually too small for a seven-year-old if it's a double bed. And I was just really gobsmacked, and I just kept saying, but I don't understand how it's the landlord's business. And, well, why have you got an advert with two double beds in there if actually you're saying you won't rent? And then I did say to him, I said, would you rent to a couple, or would he, the landlord, rent to a couple and one child? And without any hesitation, he literally said, oh, yeah, that would be totally fine. And I was like, well, then that's totally discrimination. And he was basically just apologetic. Like, to be fair to the estate agent, I don't think any of it was his fault. Whether he should have put more pressure on, I don't know. But he did sound like he felt awkward. And he was like, I'm sorry. And I asked him to send back a message to the landlord. That wasn't very polite. like tell him, I hope he never ends up with a ton of savings.
Yeah.
And he's a single parent and no one will even rent him a home and all that. So then I just sort of thought, well, maybe it's just a one-off. And then so I phoned around for these other two beds. I put an offer in for another one, but they went with someone else. I don't know if that was discrimination or not, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's hard to know, isn't it? But with this one, there was no one else had offered. It was quite a small two-bed, to be fair, and it was a bit dark. Like, it wasn't the nicest flat by any
means. Yeah.
But it ticked all my boxes and was cheaper than they normally are. So for me, actually, it was kind of perfect. But anyway, so the other one I put an offer in, I just didn't get any feedback, so I don't really know why. And then this other estate agent, when I was asking to view some two beds, they just kept saying, no, you can't view. And I was like, what do you mean? And they were like, what? It's not big enough. I was like, it's a two bed. And they were like, no, but we've seen it. It's a really small two bed. And they have like the photos in the floor plan. I'm like, but it's not. It was bigger than the other two
beds.
It was like, this is bonkers.
It's two bedrooms.
It had photos again with double beds in each one, space around each. This one definitely had more space. And I was just like, and she was going off about how it was, the council would say it was overcrowding. And I got into like an argument. Like, the council would not say it's overcrowding. The council would, the council would never even give me that if I went to them.
That's what I was told. I'd get a one bed.
Exactly.
For the three of us, I'd get a one bed. There's no way I'd get a two bed.
There's no way. My kids are both boys, and the eldest is seven. The youngest is three. There's no way on any, on anything that it's considered overcrowding. In the end, she put me through to her manager. And he agreed that I was right, that the council wouldn't, it wasn't breaking any council laws or anything. And then I was like, well, your staff are misinforming people and not letting people view. And he was like, well, I can't really comment. And I was like, well, I think maybe you need to train your staff because they are stopping people view. It's like, imagine if you went to a shop to buy a pair of shoes and they were like, we don't sell to people with feet like you've got. Well, hang on, can I show you my feet? No, we don't have any shoes that would suit your feet. Please leave the building. No, you can't even walk through the door. And you'd be like, but I can see shoes there that would fit my feet.
Yeah.
No, sorry, off you go. Like, it's like that. And he was just quite rude, even in the sense of like customer service. Surely if a customer says one of your staff is misinforming customers, then you should, you know, politely apologise and look into it.
But the thing, it's a saturated market, isn't it? He doesn't need to be.
No, he doesn't need to go
to you.
He's like,
because well, it's they'll full get rid of it to other people.
It's full now, so I can't get you a viewing. And I was like, yeah, sure, I understand that now, but how am I ever going to get a viewing if your staff keep blocking me? And then he was like, well, they've probably said it because they know he won't rent to you because most landlords like to rent, and this is quoting, to someone in their ilk. So if they're single, they'll want to rent to someone single. If they're in a couple, they'll want to rent to a couple, i.e. none of our landlords are single parents, so none of them all want to rent to you. So we're saving you the bother of wasting your time to come for a viewing. So then I started on saying that if I do, maybe I'll offer £500 more a month than anyone else. Obviously, I'm not going to. But until you let me view, you don't know what my offer is going to be. And it didn't, I mean, what, it didn't really go anywhere. He said the places had gone, so what, or the viewings were booked up and stuff. So what could I do? And then I did a three bed, or maybe that was even before, I can't remember the exact order. I viewed a three bed because I thought, right, this is me going from, I'll just wash this into one bed. Oh my God, I'm going to have to go to a three bed or not. I don't know. I'm like convincing myself, oh, well, at least it'll be less stressful. Okay, I'll have no money left, but it'll be less stressful. It'll be worth it, blah-de-blah. Find this really nice house, as in like it was really big and I had this huge garden. It was a bit ramshackle inside, but for what, I don't care about that. Like the space in the garden would have been perfect, to be fair.
Yeah.
I offered slightly more than they were asking because I thought, okay. I said to the agent, I said, do you think it will go under? Which was my cheeky way of finding out if it would go over. And he said, no, I think it will just go bang on. I don't think it will go over either. I offered just a little bit more, like £25 or something more a month.
Yeah.
Which still adds up, to be fair. But I
think
just to make myself, like, nudge myself across the competition, right?
Yeah.
I'm obviously not going to win ever on an equal footing, considering I can't even win against an empty property. So I offer more, keep phoning every day. Have I got it? Have I got it? Have I got it? And then in the end, they say no. And who got it was a couple with two kids, older kids, and they offered bang on the asking price. And when I said, so why didn't they go for the more money option? And they said, oh, they just, the feedback was just that this other family were a better fit. So maybe what you will. And obviously, in the meantime, my house sale's going through. I was actually, my buyers needed to move in. So I just had to find an Airbnb, and I was lucky that I did find one that accepted me with the kids, because a lot of them also wouldn't for kids. Even though, again, they would say, like, the room would take three people, but when you contacted them and said the three people was me and two kids, suddenly there was, like, issues with this, that and the other. But I found the place I did stay, the woman was really lovely, but just a couple of weeks. And so now I've come to my parents for the summer holidays because we'll be away a bit anyway. And I'm just going to reassess and hope that somehow I find a kindly landlord. Or ideally, I find a place to buy.
Yes, yeah.
And skip the rental bit. But I'm lucky compared to most, like, single parents, because home ownership in single parent families is much lower than the average, much lower. So I'm really happy that I've got that to fall back on. But it's a real, like, wake-up call to how bad it is. And I'm someone who already got that it was bad. But I don't even let you view.
Like, that's really shocked me. Like, really shocked me. Because it's basically just saying no straight off the bat. Yeah. And I wonder what the statistics are actually on, because I know people are nervous because you do get bad tenants, but I wonder what the statistics actually are on how many problems there are with single parent families as opposed to other people. Because I work for this lady who used to rent out a property which rented out at £10,000 a month, right? Mm. It was in West London, it was very fancy. Every single person she had that lived there damaged the property in some way or caused problems with paying their rent was late, or there was always issues with every tenant. And you can imagine the people that lived there were very high-end.
Incredibly wealthy,
well-to-do people, well.
High earners.
And I've never, touch wood, I've never missed a rent payment ever, and I've always rented when I was single, in a relationship, you know, and as a single parent, I've never, you know, so I would actually be interested to know, because this, it obviously comes from somewhere.
I think it's just stigma, because I don't think it adds up, because I think...
Yeah, 100%.
For starters,
bad press.
Most people know that it's hard to find a place, so they're not going to mess it up, because then they, how are they going to get a reference for the next place? Or get kicked out or whatever. I was offering 6 months rent up front because I'm paying from my savings. That's why I sort of, you know, a bit arrogantly, a bit naively assumed that being able to pay up front like that would make me immune to the discrimination on some level.
Yeah.
And I know that's not fair on everyone else. And, you know, and I think that's appalling. And I fight to change that. So, I actually genuinely thought I wouldn't before, but I totally did, because I don't think they even know what the problem is, because I would have offered and agreed to pay double the deposit or something. You know, I would basically have done anything to get it.
Yeah, and it's your home for your babies.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to want to make it a lovely place, and you're going to want to stay there for as long as you need to.
Yeah.
How would you? It's your children's home.
You don't trash it when you've got kids. I just don't buy
that.
I mean, I know the
odd
family would, but I imagine that's a lot less than the odd single person.
100%.
Like, I just don't buy that. That's a higher rate.
It's just this. It's the stigma attached to being a single parent, which creates. It's like the tabloid press, which have created this whole belief system around people that are on benefits, the working class, single parent families, and everyone just thinks we're terrible, and we're not. But it's just that discrimination, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's really
that
mad.
Is terrible.
Really maddening.
So, how long have you been a single parent for? Has it been quite a long time?
Yeah. So my eldest, well, he's like 7 and a half, as he'll tell you.
Yeah.
And he was about half when I became a single parent. So about 7 years I've been a single parent.
Okay.
I was married to his dad and we separated and divorced quite soon after. And then my second one is, I've had him on my own through using a sperm donor.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, how was that?
Oh, it was
Did you have to do that privately?
Yeah, so I did it through an NHS clinic, but as a private patient, because I preferred the idea of the money going to NHS. And I thought they were less likely to rip me off. Like, you hear of clinics sort of saying, oh, do this extra thing.
It
doesn't really help, but it adds loads of money. So I just did IUI, which is basically where they squirt it up you.
Yeah. With a turkey baster.
A very, very long turkey baster. Yeah, so, yeah, I see, I'm trying to remember now. I had quite a few attempts that were cancelled because of, like, had too many eggs or didn't have enough eggs or things like this. So it was quite frustrating.
It's tricky, isn't it? Yeah. Like, my friends have gone through IVF and it's like this very
complicated, exactly,
sort of easy process.
No, so it took longer than I'd hoped to get pregnant, but yeah, then I got pregnant and yeah, it's amazing doing it that way. I mean, I won't say it's not challenging. It's definitely challenging, and I had a very difficult birth, which like kind of made me struggle a bit for a while, but overall it's actually amazing raising someone who doesn't remind you of someone else. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but literally
say whatever you
there's
like
nothing there's like because obviously I've experienced both, haven't I? Like I've experienced having a child, or all three, having a child in a marriage with a partner there, experienced that breaking down and how it feels. I tried to co-parent, although that never really happened, and all the kind of tensions and upset and drama that can cause, and then having the other extreme opposite of there's no one else around, and there's no resentment or anger, and it's really amazing. And freedom, even though I have complete freedom with my eldest, because his dad's not really involved, and the involvement he does have is just like see him once a year in a park for 2 hours, so it really has no impact.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
Or occasionally more often than that, but not, you know, but always at least months between it, and I'm always there, and it's just in a, you know, outside or something, so it's not an impact, it's not a big impact. It's amazing. I'd definitely recommend it.
Well, I think the hardest thing for me has been managing my relationship with their father, because it's the kids are fine. I can deal with the kids. I prefer doing it on my own because I'm not getting let down because I'm expecting someone else to be doing something that they're not doing. And it's just, I much prefer it. But still having to manage that relationship with him and the guilt that I felt at first about who their father was, which was ridiculous because obviously he's got to be their father because they wouldn't be here if he wasn't. But, you know, that's been the hardest thing. So I imagine 100% it must be a lot easier if you haven't got that other person there.
And even though my older one's dad's, like I say, not really involved, but there was years of trying to have him involved and him being a bit more involved than that. And, you know, to begin with, he would see him once a week or once every 2 weeks. Like you say, all dealing with that relationship and, you know, obviously often an ex, the relationship will be difficult. Like most people, like if you think of your exes of the past, like you'll just walk away and not continue to have a relationship with them. But obviously you can't have kids. And definitely a lot of guilt. And I think I know that some people who go the solo motherhood route talk about guilt as well of, you know, deliberately not giving their child a second parent. But in a way, because I have felt guilt towards my eldest for who I gave him as a father, it's irrelevant because otherwise they wouldn't be them.
It sort of made me feel
I think I've kind of skipped a lot of the guilt with the donor conception thing because I've kind of thought, but you can try and do it the so-called right way and it all goes wrong anyway, so
yeah
at least it's not gonna go really blow up in its face, like it just what it is from day one. I don't think we should feel guilt for that. There's so many different nowadays.
Yeah, 100%. And the thing is, you don't know how anyone is going to be as a parent until they're a parent.
No.
You can't foresee the future. I mean, obviously, sometimes there's warning signs and whatever, but, you know, you don't know. There's no test you have to pass.
No.
Is there? So you kind of, you have to make the decisions that you think are the best ones and for the right reasons. But, you mean, you can be with someone for 5 minutes and get pregnant and have a kid and have the best time of it, or you can be with someone for 5 years and it all falls apart, you know. You don't know. So have you told your younger son know about his father,
that he's donor conceived?
Yes
he knows, and the older one knows. He's just starting to talk about it, actually, interestingly. And although I say I don't really have guilt. He's trying to draw it out of me because I've had a few times recently where he's said, where's my daddy? I've tried to explain again that he doesn't have a daddy and we used to, or I used a donor. And
yeah,
I explain like mummy's egg and the donor sperm and then he grew in my tummy and you came out.
Yeah.
Show him physically and then, and not that, not that.
Like, yeah, but yeah.
And he just keeps saying, but where's my daddy? I want my daddy. And then he's like, get me a daddy. And then I'm like, it's not that easy. And it's hard. And I'm surprised he's saying it this young.
Does he go to nursery?
Yeah, he goes to nursery. I think maybe it's from that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's when it's the outside. It's because they see, it's kids just kind of react to what they see, don't they? And there are obviously a lot of different types of families nowadays, so it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
But obviously, I suppose if the other kids are talking about their dads and he's seeing dads, then he's probably going to be like, oh.
Yeah.
And that's natural, isn't it? But you're being honest. If you're honest, no, that's exactly. All you can be, and that's, you know. And he'll get over it.
Yeah.
You know, because people have dads that shout at them all the time and beat them up. And not saying that all dads are like that, but, you know, it's as long as he's loved.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, his older brother's dad isn't around much. So it's not like I sort of expected him to just take it as the norm. It's obviously just something I need to just keep continuing to talk about.
It's probably just a stage.
Yeah.
And they're the kind of, like, does he kind of ask, where's my dad? And you say, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, all right. And then gets on with something else, you know.
He got really upset the other day about it. And then I was like talking more to him about the donor. And I do have some photos. So the one time he talked about it, I showed him a photo. And to be honest, he did this. His face was incredible. He just did this like look of like awe and this weird sort of contented look as well. And I was like, wow, I wouldn't have. Maybe this is naive of me, I don't know, but prior to showing him that photo, I wouldn't have expected him to kind of connect with it. And he kind of did. Yeah. And I was like, wow. And I'm lucky enough that we could make contact if we wanted to for various reasons. So I think that's what I will do in time. But he's in America. And then the last time when I actually mentioned that he's in America, my little one was like, I want to go to America. And I was like, okay, one day. So I think now I know he does want to try and build that relationship.
Yeah.
I'm going to explore how I can do that.
And I suppose that's different for the kid. You're not going to know how the kid, because some kids might not give a shit.
No, and you definitely hear
it's
that.
It's just dependent on them, isn't it?
No, totally. Totally. And he might not give a shit in a few weeks or whenever.
Yeah.
And we're not about to go to America just yet.
Yeah. So, especially not at the moment. No,
exactly. So, you know.
Whereabouts in America?
I don't know. Okay. That's just Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, wow. It's definitely amazing what you can do nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah, my friend, so she came on the podcast, actually. She was she's gay, so it was two women. So they had to obviously get a donor, and they were like going through like all the process that they had and like choosing.
Yeah,
it's funny, isn't it? It's like shopping for.
I know it is full on. Yeah,
sperm. But yeah, I think probably a lot of women, if they had the option, knowing what they know now, might be like, actually, that would be a lot easier. Definitely,
it kind of.
Yeah,
especially like I was already a single parent, so for me, I wasn't to go from not a parent to a single parent completely through choice, I think is obviously a very big decision to make. But if you're already a single parent and you're just adding to your family, I think for me, the time thing, it was just like, in the end, I sort of decided if I haven't met someone by X date, like the end of the year or something, then I'll do this because I know I want another kid. I'm already a parent.
Yeah.
I want more kids.
Yeah.
I can't hold on forever to
make
perfect.
Yeah.
Stranger. So I'll just.
No, I've got a couple of friends that are getting older that really want babies. I'm just fucking have one. Just have one. Because you might wait for years and years to find the right person. one, never find them. Two, find them, get pregnant and then split up anyway. You know, so it's like if you really do just want to have a baby.
And there's loads of support networks out there for making the decision, for going through the treatment, for once you are a parent. So, yeah, there's a really strong network.
Do you want to, are you looking to get into a relationship with someone else, or are you not interested in that until the kids are older, or?
No, I was actually looking, but I think, well, COVID hit. But I think, to be honest, I think I'd sort of given up a little bit before COVID. I think with when it was just me and the and my older one, I dated more, definitely. It was definitely easier to get that kind of thing in when I only had one. And then I was still trying, and I did date for a bit when the little one was young. And then I think I just thought, it's just exhausting, and it's not really leading anywhere. And I don't want to use like the odd time I have to input on this. And then obviously COVID. So it was just became impossible. I'd love Mr. Perfect to turn up at my door.
Yeah.
Know him, I'll give you my address when I get.
Yes.
And then, yeah. But yeah, all the, I don't know.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Point is difficult, isn't it?
Yeah. So when did you start blogging then about your experience? What made you want to have a voice?
I think it was just getting so annoyed how much people didn't have a clue what life was like.
Yeah.
I think people sort of thought like, oh, it's sad that you've separated, but you're separated now. So you're over and done with that, and now you're all fine. And it's like, well, no, because it ushered in single parenting. It's not like a breakdown of a relationship, which doesn't then usher in something entirely challenging.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember like, I think it was at the Christmas, we'd split up sort of summertime, and at Christmas time I was back at my parents', my brother was there, and him being like, oh, just get over it. And it was like, but it's not really the relationship as such, or not the relationship that ended. Like, I'm still having challenges with the relationship because I'm having a different relationship now. I'm having can't really call it a co-parenting, but whatever, you know, trying to something. Parent relationship, which is hugely challenging, and actually I'm just single parenting. So yeah, I don't know, it was probably about 6 months, a year after I'd separated, that I started writing. It was just literally to try and get people to understand. I think the first post I wrote was the 10 realities of single mum or something, and it was about how it's great that you get the freedom, but also how lonely it can be. And that you have no space or time to yourself and stuff. And I shared it with someone who was a blogger at the time. And she was like, oh, you should write. And I was like, oh, no, I've written this blog post now. That's it. And she was like, more stuff. And then, like, although I haven't written much lately just because of time, I then proceeded to write, like, 1,000 blog posts. So clearly I did have more things to say.
Yeah. Where is your background? Did you used to write before?
So not like sort of for my job or anything. I always wrote like diaries and stuff. I think I've always had it in me to enjoy writing, but yeah, I haven't done it as a job or anything like that.
So you were doing the blogs, and then what happened? Did they start, what did you put them on? How did you get people to read them?
I just put it on a WordPress site.
I
did it anonymously to begin with, because I think there is so much shame and stigma, not just about single parenting, but about all the things connected to that, like mental health of my ex. He had severe mental health issues, and all the kind of complex issues that go around that. There's a lot of stigma about it all.
Yep.
And even though I wanted people to know about it, I was still very nervous, I guess, of people knowing that that was me, what was happening in my life. So it was very hard to actually get people to follow, because I think the normal thing is you share it on your personal pages, friends and family read, and then they share it.
Yeah.
But when I started, Mumsnet used to do like blog of the day and things like that. So they often shared it, my stuff as blog of the day and things. So that sort of different ways. And then slowly friends sort of worked out it was me and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you went onto Instagram.
Yeah. And I wrote some pieces for other things as well, like Scary Mummy and Metro. And like I did then get some paid for pieces, and then that would link back to the blog. And then I didn't start the Instagram that long ago. I kept thinking, but it's all about pictures and I'm useless with pictures. But then someone pointed out, well, you can just put like a Canva quote up and then write something in the post. I'm slowly getting the hang of it.
I just have to keep thinking, I've got a post.
I'm not that good at the sort of marketing side of it, I'll be honest. If I'm having a challenge or whatever, I might not post for a couple of weeks.
So when did you start the single parents' rights campaign then?
So the actual campaign, it sort of came out of that lobbying with Cummings. So it must have been about a year, just over a year ago. And then the Instagram page is probably more recent, because there's a volunteer who runs that. So she set it up maybe only about 6 months ago or so now. I'm really bad with timing.
Yeah, I don't think it's been that long.
Yeah. And I've got a Twitter account with it too. I think I sort of started the Twitter account and the website at the beginning, and I just felt like I couldn't do any more social media.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we got a volunteer, Steph, who's really
cool.
He runs it. And then there's other people behind the scenes who help with it as well.
Yeah. So what are your next movements?
So at the moment, just some of it's just little things like updating the website and stuff. But then we're also going to try and do more campaigning around fairer pricing for single parents.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing for single parents, especially in the summer holidays. You can get discounts as a family, but only if you're a 2.4 family.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make any sense.
And
also we're going to try and do stuff around HR policies that are inclusive to single parents. So again, there's a lot of movement nowadays, which is great for diversity and inclusion, but it tends to focus on the existing protected characteristics. And we go further and include groups like single parents.
Yeah.
So we're getting our policies up on the website. And then we're just trying to get more groups on board and continue to lobby. We really want there to be a review of policies, because we've got like an Excel table that sort of summarises all the different policies we've come across. And this is aside from the fact that like private businesses discriminate or private landlords or whatever. This is like actual government policies, and there's lots of them, and that's just over time that we've come across them. There's probably lots more.
And
so we want to try and address those.
So what types of things have you found?
So things like, I think one of the ones I find the most shocking is that if you're a registered carer, so that could mean that your child has a disability or you care for an elderly relative that needs care, full-time care. But it means you must be doing 30 hours of care or more a week.
Yeah.
If you have a partner and they're in work, you're entitled to 30 hours of free childcare if you've got a 3 to 4-year-old. If you don't have a partner in work, or just don't have a partner, in other words, you're not entitled to the childcare.
That's ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous. What it would mean is, say, like for my example, because I get the 30 hours because I work, but if like my 7-year-old had like quite severe medical or disability needs and I didn't work, I wouldn't be able to get the free childcare for my 3-year-old. So I'd be dealing and coping and looking after my elder one as a registered carer. My 3-year-old would also be there. Now, if I suddenly parachuted in a husband who went to work, I'd suddenly be allowed to send the three-year-old for 30 hours pre-childcare. But obviously, unless he's a complete douchebag, he'd presumably help out in the evenings or
yeah.
or whatever. It's a financial support, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of course, people in couples deserve that 30 hours as well. I wouldn't argue yeah. that way, but it makes no sense that we're not entitled to it.
That's crazy.
And it's such a marginalised group, though, that it just doesn't get raised. Like, the charities involved aren't raising this as a thing.
Yeah.
Whereas it's, to my mind, it's just bonkers.
Yeah. It's like, but why aren't we included? Are we deliberately left out, or are we just not thought of?
It's a really good question. It could be either, couldn't it?
Because sure, they know that families are made up of different types.
If you look at the wording of the policy, what it says is that if you're married, then caring responsibilities as a registered carer are considered equivalent to the work requirement. So it makes no sense, because it's very specific wording. It's like, so if you would consider that to be equivalent to work, and therefore I wouldn't have to go out to work, because obviously doing caring responsibilities is work in and of itself, doesn't make any sense for you to take away that if I didn't have a partner. You can sort of only really come to the conclusion that it's a political decision.
You don't want
to make it easier to be a single parent family, which makes no logical sense, because if you don't want to make it, if you're anti-single parenting for whatever crazy reason, denying people who are already single parents who are registered carers with, say, disabled children or someone else they're caring for, to take away their help, is not going to push them into a relationship, is it? It's going to push them into a breakdown. So it doesn't even achieve their aim.
Yeah.
Like, this should give us more childcare so we can go out and date. Like, if that's their actual aim.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Because I tried to look at it from their perspective, and it's like, even from that value set, it makes no sense. So then all you can think is, they just don't want stories in the mail of single parents who are getting free childcare or something. But it doesn't make any sense, because I don't think the mail would even be interested in that, because surely it's fine for a three-year-old to get free childcare if the parent is busy looking after someone else.
Yeah.
It's just madness. Yeah, it is, literally.
Yeah.
So.
Is there an MP or anything that you work with? Have you managed to get anyone on board
that could actually do something? Yeah, we're trying to build relationships with MPs. So Caroline Noakes chairs the Equalities Committee. And she's been relatively supportive and interested. So we're hoping to build that relationship. We've kind of quiet the last few months because it's just been a bit bonkers. But I'm hoping to pick that up. And then also the shadow equalities minister, she's been really supportive, and I've had a meeting
with
her. So again, hoping to build on that.
How was your lockdown?
Oh my god, it was a night.
Were you working from home?
Well, luckily I got furloughed after a little bit, so we all got COVID, or we think it was COVID, just before lockdown. So we all started isolating. And then once we were out of isolation, lockdown had been called. It was really weird. I think I just went to a really weird headspace, to be honest. And even though, like, you could go out for exercise and stuff, I rarely did. Even going to the shop, it was just such a huge effort, and there'd be massive queues. And obviously I'd have the kids with me, and I couldn't get any online. I could never get an online.
Yep.
And I remember mentioning,
did anyone ever moan at you for taking your kids shopping?
No, they didn't, to be fair. I didn't get anyone moaning, but I heard people saying that.
Yeah.
I probably looked so pissed off they didn't care. They knew they'd got a mouthful. But literally, the first time I went, I saw the queue, I just started crying and walked away.
Yeah.
It was just so overwhelming. It was just it wasn't obviously just about the queue, I burst into tears. It was, okay, So we don't know how long this is going to be for. I've got the kids. I've got no one to turn to. I've got a job to keep going. And for the first, I can't remember now. I think it was until Easter. I was carrying on working. I had some time off or something. And then they furloughed me, I think.
Yeah.
So thank God. And then started working again in the September when school and nursery went back, because I lost my nursery place as well, because they had so many key workers. Because nurseries open, in general, nurseries open much earlier than that. But I didn't get a place because he was in baby room still, and they had so many key workers, they couldn't, and they had to prioritise, didn't they, the older nursery kids.
Right, okay.
So that went through until the September, so it was in the new school year. And then, yeah, I've worked through the other lockdowns and stuff. But I did come to parents for a bit of one of them.
Yeah.
Which helped. But,
yeah.
No, it's just, I think for me, it was the mental health side, like so much on you. And then you get so isolated that you then, I don't know, it just becomes really hard to reach out. Because I would walk, I'd go out and I'd see other people from a distance that were obviously out and meeting people. And then we weren't even supposed to meet anyone with the plus one. This was before bubbles, like the plus one.
Yeah.
We couldn't make use of it. But then you'd see other people that were making use of it. But I think my headspace had just gone so, like, I'd gone so into myself that I just didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just kept away. It was really weird.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like when you're in that place, you can't. You don't want to reach out for help, even though you need help. You're just too low down, aren't you?
Yeah.
You just, it's not a nice place to be.
No.
But, and everyone, and then you feel like you don't want to moan because everyone's going through it, and did you have a garden?
Very luckily I had a garden.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure I would have done the daily exercise if I hadn't had a garden, to be fair.
Yeah, that was I was really grateful every day. I was grateful that I had that, because it was really nice. The first time it was really nice weather, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So at least we could be outside a bit and.
No, yeah. Totally. Yeah.
And were the kids all right?
Yeah. I mean, I gave up on homeschooling because it was a massive battle. My eldest one, was in year one the first time round, and it was just. I was like, okay, so I can either do this and ruin our relationship and he probably didn't learn anything.
Yeah.
I can give up. Our relationship will be fine. He probably still won't learn anything, but our relationship will be fine. Or not as badly damaged. Honestly, I just gave up. I remember nights when the kids had like Christmas jingles on and were dancing and jumping on the bunk bed at like 10, 11 p.m. And I was just like, I've given up. Like you just can't summon the energy. I had long COVID as well, and that was a nightmare.
A
real nightmare, to be honest, and it got progressively worse until I then got COVID again at Christmas, which, although hideous and awful, and my parents had it as well, which was really hideous, they were fine, but it was obviously the fear because they're older. But the second dose of COVID knocked out the long COVID.
Okay.
Yeah. So, which was amazing, because I was getting to the point where I was like, I'm going to have to make serious changes to my life because I just can't do all this. I can't cope.
Yeah.
It's
really scary.
Yeah.
Really scary.
I get the odd little issue from it still, but nothing like, I was in a lot of pain, to be honest, quite often. So,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh no, I mean, I am just so grateful it's gone. I mean, I know other people who, even though they've had COVID a second time, it hasn't kicked it out. And because it does. That is apparently a thing that other people have said, it has helped get rid.
Yeah.
But not everyone. So I'm just just so grateful.
Yeah.
It gives you a big insight into what it must be like for people with chronic fatigue and ME and things like that, to be honest.
Yeah.
It really does. And hats off to any single mums who deal with that.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know how some people do it. So you're at your parents for the summer holidays.
Well, yeah, we're off camping next week, and then we're back for a bit, and then we're off to Wales for a couple of weeks. So we're
lovely.
In and out as a base.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping for a miracle. Yeah. So that by September, somehow I've got a house and I've got a school.
Oh, yeah, because school's going to start back up, isn't it? So you've got to get back for school.
Well, I've told his old school that he's leaving. And, I don't even know what I'm doing. I've told them he's leaving. Yeah. He said goodbye. But obviously, I thought I'd be getting a new address and then I could register him at a new school.
Of course, yeah.
At this rate, he's probably going to get registered at my old primary school.
Yeah.
Be honest. Even if it's just for a few weeks or a couple of months.
Yeah.
I might have to do it. Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to see what happens.
Oh, then
I have to think about I need an address for my little one. I'll definitely need an address by January for the school admissions. Because otherwise, you know what it's like in London. They're so jam-packed.
Oh, it's a fucking nightmare. My school, the girls' school, took on an extra year. They took on an extra class.
Well, they opened up a new class, wow.
Yeah, the September before, I think it was. They had like a temporary classroom built in the playground because so many people didn't get their choices, their first choices, and they obviously were getting sent to schools that were miles away. So, and a couple of them, another school's near to me did it as well. There are just but they're building so many flats and they're not building
anymore. I don't think it through.
Schools, it's like...
Because the area I'm trying to buy in, I know that they've got spaces in my older one's year, so he can get in really easily. But I still would need an address to then get them.
Yeah.
Just all logistics, isn't it?
It's a nightmare. But I wish you luck with it.
Thank you.
And everything else. How do people get in touch if they want to help?
Well, yeah, we would love help. We love all the hands on deck, please. So either through the campaign Instagram handle, which is Single Parent Rights, or my Instagram handle, Elemental Mama. I'm also on Facebook, Elemental Mama, Twitter, Elemental Mama, Twitter for Single Parent Rights, but it's short, it's SGL Parent Rights.
Okay.
Or just email us, singleparentrights@gmail.com.
Well, I will share the link for everything. Thank you so much for coming on, and thank you so much for everything you do as well. It's nice to know that someone's fighting our corner.
Lots of other people, it's not just me. But yeah, thank you so much for having us and for having me.
Thank you for building.
Yeah,
thank you. I appreciate it. And just wait there because I want to say goodbye to you properly, but we'll say goodbye to the podcast. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Have a lovely summer.
And bye, you. Bye.
Hi. So yes, that's the amazing Ruth. And I'll be pleased to tell you that she has got a property. I've been emailing her because she lived near me before, but I'm not sure where her new house is because I was like, I'd really like to meet up for a coffee. So I just need to find out where her new place is. But yeah, she's doing amazing work and she's lovely. I really love chatting with her. So follow her. It's Elemental Mama and Single Parent Rights. But I'll tag her obviously in the socials and I'll post links on the little bit of writing on the actual podcast. Wherever you're listening, you'll see it there. And don't forget to subscribe to my podcast, please, and like it. Give me a review. Good review, though, please, if you don't mind. And also, the Epic Mum Chat, we have a new episode out. The Guilt, which is about dealing with the guilt of choosing whoever you chose to be the other parent to your children when they didn't work out quite the way you wanted them to. But it's about other stuff as well, but that's kind of like the leading title. But yeah, that's on the Epic Mum Chat, which is on YouTube. So if you search Epic Mum Chat, Narcissist or The Guilt, then it should come up. We need to sort out our URL, but we need to have more people subscribing, I think, or have more, or have our account have been around for longer. I think that's it. I will sort it out. I'm so not, I mean, I am technological, but oh my God. Sometimes I realise my age. Anyway, I hope you are good and well and happy. And I'll see you next week. And if you haven't listened to any other episodes, if this is your first time, then please check out my other episodes. I've had some amazing chats. The most popular of recent has been my friend Nicole's journey with through addiction and childhood trauma, which has had amazing responses. I think it's really resonated with a lot of people, so check that out if you haven't. It's not a hard listen. It's, she speaks about it very in a good way, even though it's short, it's, you know. And I had Star with Sunday on last week, so if you don't know who that is, then you should know. She's brilliant. Body confidence. And I think that is it. I'm going to stop talking now. Have a lovely Sunday. Big love. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.